Tired of complex and high credit card processing fees? It's time to simplify. Whether you own a big business or a small startup, Empower Payments can save you money. Streamline your payment process while saving money today with Empower Payments. Learn more at empowerpayments.com. That's empowerpayments.com.
He does the research, analyzes the data, and checks the variables. He even submits his findings for peer review. He's the only man with a lab coat made entirely from NFL bed sheets. He's data scientist Eric Eager of Sumer Sports. Science! Only on the program.
He's a big deal. Just ask him. Eric Eager, Sumer Sports, VP of R&D, joins us here in the program. Joins us each and every week here in the program. Of course, he's brought to you by our friends at Twin Peaks. You're looking for a great place to watch the game this weekend. How about get the guys together and go get a table with the best scenic views, best setup for televisions, 29-degree man-sized draft beer, premium cocktails, great bourbon selection there at Twin Peaks. Made from scratch menu, and of course, the most scenic views in town. Eats, drinks, scenic views. It's game time at your Twin Peaks. Check it out in Independence, Olathe, and in the Northland at the Boardwalk Shops. We welcome Eric Eager from Sumer Sports. Eric, how are you, sir?
Saran, I'm doing great. How about you?
I'm doing fantastic. Last night, you predicted the Chiefs 31-13. You standing by that?
I am. I'm standing by it. I think, you know, look, and man, it's just one game. So my worth as an analyst doesn't go up or down based upon it. But I do think that, like, the average Joe Square is all over the Bengals this week, and I think all the betting market stuff is kind of, you know, moving towards the Bengals initially was all kind of a smokescreen to a certain extent. So, I think the Chiefs handle their business this week.
Well, explain what do you think has happened with the betting line? You know, I talked about some of the dynamics that are at play when a line gets posted and why it moves. And, you know, so sometimes you see this, oh, the line moved like this from where it opened. Like, well, the general public didn't get a shot at that early on. Explain what you think has been, you know, not that we all know, but you studied as close as anybody. What do you think has been at the root of all the line movement?
Yeah, I mean, what we know for sure is that, you know, Circa Sports had a fundamental line between the two teams of 6.5. Chiefs favored if Mahomes is completely healthy. The market at large, you know, they generally speaking will take bets off screen before they post just to get a kind of idea of what their risk is going to look like initially. And so then a lot of books posted either Chiefs -3 initially or -2.5. Three is a valuable number in the NFL because about 8% of games land three. So moving off that number is about a 4% move. But then after that, what people saw was a steady stream of movement from Kansas City to Cincinnati. The Chiefs were down to -1 by Sunday night, all the way over until yesterday, where you could have had the Chiefs at +2.5. Now the issue is in the NFL, especially playoff games, there are no ties, right? So there's 0% a chance the game is going to land zero. And then 1-2 on either side of zero, the combined percentage at best is about 10%. So the market moved about 10% in the favor of the Bengals in the first day and a half, 2 days or so of market movement, which isn't that much. It's like I said, it's about the same if you move from -2.5 to -3.5. But people look at the 5-point swing and they overvalue those points. What we then saw yesterday was a pretty respected betting syndicate called Right Angle Sports taking Kansas City at +2.5. That moved it down to +1. And then what we've seen today after some of the reports and, you know, the fact that Mahomes is practicing a little bit, we've seen now the game is trending about towards a pick'em here. So that's basically been the movement there. I think the initial move, you know, in hindsight especially, but even at the time, felt like a head fake by professionals to try to get that number as close to Chiefs +3 as they could so that they could bet as limits got higher on Kansas City.
That's what I think was going on. That's what you think, that there was, you know, people pushing the line to then go bigger the other way.
I think so. And you know, especially when, you know, this is not the Super Bowl, so you're not you know, the public does have a say in the Super Bowl just because handle is so big that they do, you know, the sports book is just a small part of a casino. So you don't want to get too, on one game, too unbalanced on one side. So generally speaking, they will move the number a little bit on the Super Bowl. But even like in a standalone game like this where betting has become so ubiquitous and legal in about half the states, I think that, you know, the combination of, you know, the Bengals beating the Chiefs the last three times, the Bengals looking really good against Buffalo, and Kansas City's best player and the best player of the entire NFL being injured, I felt like that was, you know, a thought process, that went into saying, okay, we can head fake this market all the way over to get the Chiefs as a home dog in the AFC title game.
Yeah, and that's where my mindset is on it. They play it 10 times. How many times do the Chiefs win by the kind of margin you're predicting?
I think if they, 20%.
How many times do the Bengals win by that kind of margin?
10%.
Okay. So 70% lies more in the 7-7 either way.
Yeah, and I think I think so. And I think Kansas City actually, I mean, obviously home, all the spot related stuff. So all the stuff where if you said, okay, tell me how good the Chiefs are on a neutral field, tell me how good the Bengals are on a neutral field, take a number. Any addition to that would actually favor the Chiefs, right? They have, you know, they get an extra day of rest relative to Buffalo. They don't have to travel. They have familiarity, which is going to, generally speaking, you talked about this a lot, familiarity, generally speaking, suppresses win streaks by one team over the other. I think that all of that stuff is actually in the Chiefs' favor, which is why I'm saying, like, you know, much like the Super Bowl with Tampa Bay, it's like Chiefs beat up Tampa Bay in the first outing, ended up being a little closer than it actually was. And then Tampa Bay sort of corrects all the wrongs in that Super Bowl and blows out the Chiefs. I think there's an opportunity for that to happen, and I don't think anybody is considering that could be the case on Sunday.
Yeah, we're talking to Eric Eager from Sumer Sports, the leading NFL football analytics guy in the country, one Eric Eager. All right, so how much, if we, Trent Green said on Monday that, you know, he felt like when Mahomes, at least the first three drives that he came back in the second half, was really struggling to throw the ball outside the numbers. If that remains the case, how much does that, you know, if Cincinnati can quickly gather that he's not accurate out there, he doesn't have velocity out there because he can't drive those longer throws, how much will that handcuff the Chiefs' offense?
Yeah, I mean, look, if Trent Green is picking that up, Andy Reid's picking that up, right? So I think that is, you know, that's certainly something to consider. But, this offense, I'm going to look here a little bit at, you know, where he's throwing. I mean, Mahomes, if you look at, his passes this year, especially, let's say 10 to 19, that's going to be like where all the money is made. Patrick has 75 of those passes are between the numbers. This season, and 68 are outside the numbers. He has more passing yards between the numbers than he has outside the numbers. So this has been a team that has, you know, worked that middle of the field. Now, it's going to be different, of course, if the Bengals know he can't throw out there and they gauge out there. But the Chiefs have other means. I mean, they have Kadarius Toney now that can stretch a defense horizontally and keep them from, you know, bunching up the middle. Kadarius Toney did not play in the first matchup between the Bengals and the Chiefs. It looks like they might get Mecole Hardman back, as redundant as he can be. And you know, Jerick McKinnon is another one where I think that, you know, he's made his fair share of plays. If you look even just short of 10 yards, you know, Mahomes has just 130 passes outside the numbers, 167 between the numbers this year. So that, again, I think that is important for him to be able to, you know, keep the defense honest out there. But, I think Reed's going to be able to scheme stuff. I don't think the outside the numbers stuff is going to happen late in the down the way that might, you know, if he's healthy. I think if he has to keep them honest outside there, I think it's going to happen in rhythm, where he can sort of plant his feet as strongly as he's capable of this week, as opposed to doing it in an ad-lib style.
He's always graded very well from the pocket, right? There's kind of this mindset and maybe this want to believe that, you know, hey, this is going to eliminate any mistakes he makes if he's got to settle into the pocket and he'll actually be a better quarterback. Do you subscribe to that theory at all? Do you subscribe that at least part of the theory could be correct?
Yeah, I think players who are good outside the pocket, you know, the inside the pocket stuff is a little bit of selection bias, just because you're staying in the pocket when, you know, the only you're selecting for the great throws there, you know, as opposed to, you know, taking all of them in the pocket. They might not all be great, but to your point, like, you know, there's a collection of plays that Andy Reid can call where he'll stay in there and there'll be positive EV. I think, you know, it's very interesting. We talked about this on Red, Gold, and Bold, the best Chiefs podcast. That by the way, that needs to be the disclaimer after there.
The new name, the subheading of the title.
Yeah, I'm actually your guy that got me the artwork for the Sumer Sports Show. I have to give him another invoice because I want to, you know, put down there the best football podcast, but then the best Chiefs podcast. We got to put underneath Red, Gold, and Bold. I think that we talked about this last night. Like, I think a lot of the questions you're asking about Mahomes are really Andy Reid questions, aren't they? Because, you know, we saw it on Saturday where you're like, wow, that Chad Henne drive looked really crisp, and wow, Andy was on his best behavior. And like, I've been somebody who has been critical of Reid at times, just because I think, you know, sometimes he leaves meat on the bone. But it does have to be really hard when you have a quarterback that is so creative himself that you don't necessarily want to be another cook in the kitchen there, right? And so I think that all these questions are really, you know, framed as can Andy Reid build this? And I actually think without Mahomes having some creativity available to him, I think we're going to see Andy Reid's masterclass this week on Sunday.
So he'll pick up instead of just calling plays and allowing Patrick Mahomes to move around and have the creativity. The creativity will come from Andy Reid.
I think so. And I mean, look, we saw this in Kansas City. We saw, like, you know, for 5 years. I mean, we saw 11-5, 9-7, 11-5, 12-4, 10-6 with Alex Smith. And weirdly, the offense continued to get better. You know, even though, you know, they were not a great offense in 14, for example, and 15, I thought that they found themselves a little bit. 16 and 17, they were a pretty good offense. And, you know, I think Andy Reid really does shine. And even your guy, McNabb, you know, McNabb is a good quarterback. I don't think he's a 10 out of 10 the way Mahomes is. And Andy would at times make him look like one. I think that that's really what we're going to see this week. And I think, you know, if the Chiefs win 31-13, right, we're going to go back and look and be like, wow, you know, Andy Reid really earned his money this week, and Steve Spagnuolo really earned his money this week.
Take this one and tell me, you know, why it's wrong, okay? The Chiefs have to run the ball more.
More? No. I would say no. I think where that gets it wrong is you do have to be able to run the ball more effectively. But the thing about Sunday's game is, you know, what you can't have is a run on, you know, you can't face a lot of second and eight, right? And I think that, you know, because, you know, we saw it with Josh Allen and Buffalo last Sunday, where the Bengals do a really good job of stopping, you know, long yardage plays, at least for them. Actually, earlier in the season, they've been weaker at that. I think that the Chiefs do need to run the ball, but they need to run it, like, you know, second and three, you know, third and four. I think this is a game where, look, if Andy Reid's not going to go for fourth downs in this game, when is he going to, against a team that's beat him three consecutive times? Like, I think a run on third and four to pick up, you know, either pick up the first down or get to fourth and one is a good idea. They actually did that. The Isaiah Pacheco touchdown against the Bengals in Paycor Stadium was a third and long run. That's where I see it. I see them being more effective running the football. I don't necessarily see it being running it more being a license in this game. And in fact, if Mahomes is under center, it takes more effort for him to, like, run those, you know, stretch plays with that ankle than it does for him to, like, just drop back and throw.
All right, let's take a break. We are talking to Eric Eager from Sumer Sports, the VP of R&D. He is breaking down the Kansas City Chiefs for us. Also does a podcast. We're the co-hosts with myself and Jeff Chedid on our Red, Gold, and Bold Chiefs podcast and our 2D podcast we'll do tonight, our NFL podcast that we will do this evening at 9. We'll come back. I want to talk about the defense. How much can we count on the defense getting it done and slowing down Joe Burrow? We'll do that next here in the program.
All right, the good sense, end of the hour answer. What was the last season where both conference championship games had spreads lower than 3 points? That's the case this year.
How about it, Eric? Last time, both conference championship games, spread was under 3.
Okay.
Had a lot of years where it's been exactly 3 on both. In fact, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Six times it's been exactly 3. Under 3.
It's been a while, right? I mean,
it has been a while.
It's been so let me think about this.
It was like Cowboys, Niners, and Bills somebody.
Was in the 90s.
Yeah, was it like Bills, Dolphins in 92, Cowboys, Niners 92?
Not quite that far back.
Okay. Let me keep going here.
Niners, it's Cowboys in 94?
It's only happened twice. 94? The first year it happened was 1982.
And then,
so is it Steelers, Chargers, and 49ers, Cowboys?
No way.
Nope. Let's see. That
yeah,
was,
if I'd have known Steelers Chargers was that year, I'd have never hatched that.
That was those were 6 and 7.
One more guess.
The problem is that.
Is it 98?
Okay, 99. Let's go. Tampa Bay, St. Louis, and what would have that been? Titans,
Rams,
Jaguars.
Rams were big favorites.
Rams were a 14-point pick. Jags were a 7-point pick.
No way.
Yep.
Yeah. Oh
so
God.
Falcons.
Yes.
Falcons. Vikings that year.
Nope. Those were 11
Vikings
and 9.
Were 15 and 1.
Yeah. But those were 11 and 9.
Weren't the Falcons 14 and 2?
Yeah, they were.
Oh, okay.
They were.
Let me one more chance. 1997. San Francisco. Green Bay. That was a close one. And that was in San Fran.
Don't put a thumb in the air.
There you go.
He guessed six different
true.
Years out of
That's
a decade.
True. That's true.
You
had
to back ass into it at some
was
point.
That was Broncos. Steelers.
At Pittsburgh.
And Broncos won. So that was both road teams won. Both road teams were better.
You know,
that's how you get a small spread.
You know what I think the most impressive part of that is? Like how he acted like he's not reading it right off a screen as to what the games are.
Dude, no.
I know your
Petro,
computer.
That's how you.
Go ahead.
Petro, you know that my memory is really good on these things.
Can we pause?
When Chad Henne went into the game the other day, I tweeted out Dave Craig against the Steelers in 93. And not only did Chad Henne throw a touchdown, which Dave Craig did in 93, he threw for the exact same number of yards as Dave Craig did off the bench in that win against the Steelers, 23 yards. No one gave me my Nostradamus flowers on that one, but that was pretty damn impressive.
Yeah, I'll tell you what. Next, you'll have Hissler playing quarterback for the Chiefs.
Well, hey, when it lands 31-13, you guys can all thank me.
I will thank you, and I will tout you like it's nobody's business. Right?
No one's rooting for you more than we are.
Yeah, trust me. I mean, I hope you're right. You know, we're not rooting against you, but you do recognize you're a man on an island, right?
I think
even your dog doesn't agree.
NFL media is just right now. I mean, not us. I mean, we dare to be Daniels over here, but the NFL media. Writ large is just failing with the crowd this week.
I do think that she's a better. Go ahead.
I mean, we got somebody saying Joe Burrow is a better quarterback than Mahomes. Mahomes is a better football player. Like, I don't know what that means.
That somebody, by the way, would be Dan Orlovsky.
the guy that puts cucumbers in tacos, if you want to think about what his discernment is like. and then we have Peter Schrager saying that, like, if Burrow wins this game, he's unquestionably the better quarterback, which, I mean, what are we doing here, boys?
That would seem unfair with Patrick Mahomes hobbled to say this is the one that decides it. You know, it's to say Muhammad Ali is the boxer that got beat up by Trevor Burbick. You know, that's his greatness. If he can't beat Burbick, well, he was 40. You know, let's factor these things in. Yeah, look, I'll say this. There's no doubt the Bengals will have roared past the Chiefs for supremacy in the AFC. That's undeniable, though, right?
Yeah, I mean, sure, but like,
and until next season starts and the Chiefs have a chance to take it back. But
the first sports book odds I saw for AFC champion in 2023 had the Bills and Chiefs tied for first and the Bengals third. I think your Bills and Chiefs are both plus 350.
At Sumer Sports on Twitter, by the way, if you want to follow a great burgeoning Twitter account.
And the Bengals were third at plus 550.
So burgeoning?
This is burgeoning. Burgeoning is what I do when I go to the up to Five Guys.
I know a Greg Bergen, but
yeah,
I don't
that's
know.
That's what he did years. He's burgeoning for many years.
Yeah, okay. Listen,
I want me to fire to break an angst for you, Eager? Because
Does he do that with you on your show?
I'm vibing. I'm vibing right now. Our favorite team is in the AFC Championship game. I get to talk with you guys on the radio. There is nothing that Seren could do right now to take this smile off my face.
Ain't nobody going to break your stride. Nobody going to hold you down.
No one.
Yeah, yeah. Listen, I think the Chiefs have a very good chance of winning this game. I think the odds makers have it right. I think it's kind of a coin flip. And in those situations, why not take Patrick Mahomes? The reason would be, that, which is a very good one, because the Bengals have beat him three times. Because Joe Burrow's good. Right? I mean, I think that's the thing is, this game to me, if Patrick Mahomes were healthy, I would love the Chiefs. And I would be calling for the Chiefs by double digits. I think they are better now than they were when they played before, and I think they could have won that game then. But I think McKinnon has emerged and evolved into more of a weapon. They've learned to play, you know, and be effective, very effective, and largely because McKinnon then kind of steps up. When Travis Kelce started getting locked down a little bit and started putting up lesser numbers, McKinnon started catching more touchdowns. I think they're healthy, right? If Patrick Mahomes are healthy, you'd think they're really healthy. Right, Mecole Hardman might be back. Even, you know, the unknown about, and I think for me, and I think for a lot of people, the fear of having seen Patrick Mahomes have to move in the pocket, right? Even when he's throwing from the pocket, Orlando Brown and Andrew Wiley have been beaten a number of times this year, and he has had to move. And can he morph and just throw it away or go to the check down quicker, feel the rush sooner? You know, can he get out of his system holding the ball to the last second? Because I don't think any of us want to see a defensive lineman grabbing him and sliding down his body to then fall on his legs. He's going to come up hopping around. It's going to hurt. He's going to be in pain. That's the part that's why I think most people won't go out on the limb that you're on at 31-13 for a prediction.
Yeah, for sure. I think all the points you make about this Chiefs team being better, I thought they tackled a lot better the other day. There was a Jalen Watson tackle that I think turned the tide of the game, frankly, and forced a field goal at the end of the half. I think Nick Bolton and Willie Gay have improved drastically since they played in Cincinnati. And, you know, there's so many markers for this offense that look good. In the regular season, the Chiefs had 12 touchdowns to their running backs in the passing game. That was the same numbers they had in 2018, the last year where they were kind of a cheat code offense. They were a great offense for 5 years, but that uncovered it. Their wide receivers in the regular season, and that includes, you know, Juju, MVS, Sky Moore, a bunch of guys who have individually not done great, but collectively they average 1 yard more per target this year than they did last year. And that is with Travis Kelce having like 250 more yards this year and a bunch of more touchdowns. Like, this whole thing, I said this on a podcast, like, this team in many ways was like the bad bush in your backyard where you just needed to cut off like a branch or two and let the thing grow a little bit. Like, we've seen that, with this offense. And I think what we're going to see on Sunday is, a highlighting of that situation because, again, Andy Reid knows. Like, this has to be the best game Andy Reid's coached in 5 years. This has to be. And I think he knows that. And I think they have an extra day. And unlike the Super Bowl against the Bucs, and this is, where I will go out on a limb here, the Super Bowl against the Bucs, in my opinion, is very similar to how the Bengals must look at this game, which is to say, we have weaknesses, but we're so much better than our weaknesses. And, of course, with Kansas City in 2020, they were able to go 16-2 with basically 60% of their offensive line out. It was, the game. All it did was take one team understanding and cracking that code for it to be a problem. The Bengals, last week it was fine without their offensive line. We'll see if Steve Spagnuolo can uncover that weakness this week. But just because it hasn't happened yet doesn't mean it can't.
Yeah, I'm with you. I do think the Chiefs' defensive front, with a full year of Cohen coaching the defensive line, I think the D-line has definitely gotten better. I think they're deeper up there. And I think their pass rush will be better. And I do believe that the snow helped mask the deficiencies in the Bengals' offensive line. And that's not going to be the case. But I'll tell you what, if the Bengals go right down the field and they don't hit Joe Burrow once, I hit the panic button. Would you agree with that?
For sure. But I also, and that was the Achilles heel, back in 18, the first year that, the Chiefs were in the AFC title game at home. They were one of the league leaders in sacks that year with Houston and Ford. And they, Tom Brady threw the ball in 2.1 seconds, right? That entire game on average. And that's how they were able to, give the Chiefs fits on defense. If Cincinnati does that, then, and they're effective. I think that the big thing, and Nick Bolton said this the other day, and this is me as a statistician, garnering hope. Nick Bolton said that Joe Burrow did not make one mistake in the Cincinnati game at Paycor Stadium. I'm gonna make a bet that he makes a mistake or two in this game. In which case, in a game you're only lost by three, when he makes almost no mistakes tactically, I think that he makes a mistake or two, and the Chiefs can capitalize on that.
I know, as a Chiefs fan, we don't want to hear anybody say anyone's better than Patrick Mahomes, and I think before this game is played, I don't think anybody has the right to say they're better. But if Joe Burrow beats him again, okay, and has a good day doing it, he's got a right. Are Chiefs fans just, wanting to stick up for their guy so much that they're not acknowledging just how good Joe Burrow is?
Yeah, Joe Burrow's fantastic. I think he's, at worst the second-best quarterback in the league. I don't think he has the physical gifts Mahomes has, but there's an absolute – when you watch him play, you're afraid of him. I mean, if Chiefs fans aren't afraid of Joe Burrow Sunday, they're lying, right? Because he absolutely has whatever it is. And, you add to that a guy who, accuracy, downfield, a lot of people said he didn't have a good enough arm. Last year, he led the league in completion percentage and yards per attempt. He does make some bad mistakes in the pocket when he takes sacks and stuff like that. It never happens against the Chiefs, apparently. But there's so much to like about Burrow. And, I think that, to say otherwise is silly. It's just, I think that, in a lot of ways, and this is where, again, my optimism comes in. As the underdog in three straight games, they've had to throw the kitchen sink at Kansas City. And, the Kansas City Chiefs are getting everyone's best battle every single week. And this is a game where I think the tables turn a little bit.
Yeah, no, I can agree with that. Like, the Bengals are now the 100, and they're still trash-talking like they're the little engine that could. And I wonder if they're not starting to believe their own press clippings and they get a little overconfident in this game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. I mean, Eli Apple, geez. Like, I talk a lot of crap, Seren, but I look at Eli Apple and I'm like, buddy, slow down.
What I heard today from this team with Andy Reid said, well, they've won three in a row. I mean, they should be confident. And then he said, but, we'll show up and go ahead and play. Yeah, there's kind of a they want to prove it. But just because you want to prove it, I think his fans are going, oh, they're ready. I mean, they're all about it. They're going to shut these. They want to shut these guys up. Yeah, they want to do that every week. Teams want to win every week. But is their week of preparation sound? Is their game plan sound? You know, even I would kind of push back a little bit. You said, you know, Andy Reid has to have his best game, and he knows it. Well, so now he tries, right? Like that whole idea, you know, I think Andy Reid is as good as it gets. You know, I think he's prepped and ready to go every game. Just sometimes the other guy who's getting paid a lot of money too just has a better day. It does happen, and it could happen here again. And if it does happen here again, I mean, the Bengals are the team, right? That you just have to tip your cap and get back to work this offseason. If the Chiefs win this game, it debunks a lot, because with a hobbled quarterback, they have shut down what is now everybody's new darling.
Yeah, I think so. And absolutely. I think, you know, there's a part of me that says why. I just think it's really hard to be as good as Andy Reid is every single week. And I think that they're, you know, in so many games, the crutch that is Patrick Mahomes is brilliance, like can lead to some game plans that are vanilla. And that, to me, I don't think that's necessarily a bad, you know, I don't think Reed's a, like, he's slacking off or anything, but like we're talking about a guy who's in really rarefied air from a coaching standpoint, right? So that's kind of where I'm at. So does he cook up extra stuff this weekend? I think he does. Does that mean that he's been slacking off forever? I don't think so.
Yeah, no doubt. All right, who has to step up? What players are going to have a big day if the Chiefs win?
Yeah, I think it's got to be, you know, it's got to be McKinnon. It's got to be Kelsey. I think Tony's a big part of this game as well. So those three guys on offense. I think one of Valdez-Scantling or Smith-Schuster has to make a play on the outside, but I don't know, you know, if they're going to be featured as much in this game. You know, I think one guy that's been really impressive this year that no one really talks about is Noah Gray. I think Noah Gray is a guy where if they are going to run the football more and do some of those, you know, and they're going to be more conservative, he's going to leak out and catch more passes than we think. So those guys on offense, I think on defense, it's got to be Nick Bolton. Nick Bolton has to stand up to Samaje Perine and Joe Mixon in the run game. And then it's the young corners. And I think Bo'Jarius Sneed being probably top guy has to have a good game for them to be successful.
All right, let's get to our Final Four with Eric Eager. It's brought to you by the University of Kansas Health System. If you have an urgent orthopedic sports injury, the same experts that care for the Kansas City Chiefs can care for you. The University of Kansas Health System can see you quickly. Open now until 7 o'clock. That's right, 8 to 7. They're at 435 and all. Weekends on Saturdays, they're open 8 a.m. to 2 p.m. You can learn more at kansashealthsystem.com/sportsmedicine. Here we go. Let's start with this. Over or under 281.5 for Patrick Mahomes?
Under.
Ooh, under. Okay. Over or under 50.5 for Pacheco rushing yards?
Over.
Yeah, that's what I think too. Receiving yards. Over or under 77.5 for Travis Kelce?
Over.
Ooh, so you do like the Kelce to get that done. That's interesting. I thought that one you might go the other way just because of the way they've handled things. And then finally, over or under on Juju Smith-Schuster, 45.5.
I think that one's the one that goes under with Mahomes.
Okay. There it is. You can bet it up if you want. Get to the FanDuel and fire away. All the numbers are there. Eric, you're the man. Great stuff as always. We encourage everybody to check you out on the Sumer Sports Podcast. And, of course, our podcast we'll do tonight, the 2Deep NFL Podcast. We'll, of course, mention the NFC Championship game, all the news, and the AFC Championship game as well. They're the only two games going. Eric, I will talk to you tonight at 9.
Yep. See you, Saran. You guys are the best. Take care.
You're the man. The best football analytics expert in the country is Eric Eager. Trust me, in demand all over the place, and always happy and glad to have him each and every week. Let's take a break. Come back. We're going to hear from Colin Saunders from the locker room today. That's coming up next here in the program. All right, welcome back here in the program here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Our thanks to Eric Eager from Sumer Sports joining us last segment. Coming up next hour, Todd Lebo with some Lebo sounds from the podium and locker room today with the Chiefs. And then a little bit later on, Seth Kizer joining us here in the program. I'll let you hear chat I had with Colin Saunders in the locker room today. Chiefs playing the Bengals for the fourth time in about 14 months, you know, twice a year, kind of like a divisional opponent. I asked Saunders if the Bengals are starting to, you know, the rivalry starting to build and have that same kind of dimension as like you'd have with a division rival.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, when you get to play those divisional teams twice a year, and then, like you said, with the finishing at the top of the divisions, playing the same teams, I mean, it feels like the Bills and the Bengals are almost divisional opponents at this point. But yeah, the more times you've gotten to play them, the better. I mean, you get to kind of learn their tendencies, learn what they're good at, learn what they struggle with. And in the Bengals' case, you know, it's not much they struggle with. They're well put together team. We've seen them three times before. I mean, each time it's been a very close game, three point games each time. And we just got to find a way to fight and come out on the other side of those 3 points. And just like I said, credit to those guys, though. They've built something special over there. And, I feel honored to have been host to the last few AFC championship games. But that's no discredit to what they're doing over there, man. They keep getting back. You know, they've been back twice. So that's nothing to take lightly. And so we're just going to, put everything together this week, go out there and do what we've been doing for the past few weeks, try and pull a win out.
Maybe it's just coincidence and when the camera is catching things, but is this a chirpier rivalry, maybe a little more conversation, maybe a higher level than some of the other games when it's the Bengals?
Oh, yeah. You know, it's competition. Whatever gets said, it's between the white lines. I can't make no promises what I'm going to say. I know they can't make no promises what they're going to say over there. And we're going to have fun. We're going to compete. And at the end of it, it's a brotherhood. And, we're going to have fun while we're playing, go out there and compete, try and win the championship.
There's a chance that there's weather. Maybe not. But, they played in the snow up there with Buffalo. Tim Grunhardt, who's a Ring of Honor center here for the Chiefs, said, the snow's offensive lineman's friend, right? Because the defense can't get the traction. It's better for the offensive line. If there is weather, does that help or hurt you? Do you agree with that assessment?
I don't care. We can play wherever.
You're gonna play, but does it? I'll dig. The Bengals have three backup offensive linemen. A lot of people are saying the reason they were able to do so well against the Bills was the snow helped to slow down the Bills' defensive line, and that maybe they could have been exposed a little bit more had it been a dry track.
Yeah, I mean, that might be true. I know it, those old linemen. They're doing some good stuff. Max and Tanner actually went to North Dakota State, so I'm familiar with those guys. But like I said, I don't care. We play wherever. We have snow on the ground, playing the desert, playing the Sahara. It don't matter. I mean, we just go out there. What Coach Reed's favorite thing, playing the CVS parking lot. It don't matter. We're just going to go out there, whatever conditions it may be. We're going to get after it, and we're going to play the game that we all have learned and known to love. So
last one for me. Patrick Mahomes obviously looks like he'll be limited in some capacity. You guys sit around in the defensive rooms and say, hey, we got to do even more. Like this is our chance.
Absolutely, you can't write it any better. You can't script it any better. This is definitely going to be a game that we want to take our defense up to a next level. We got to step up huge. I got all the faith in Pat. He's going to do what Pat does. But at the end of the day, we want to. If they don't score points, they can't win. So that's always our mantra, and we try and capitalize on that. So we'll try and go out there and definitely get after them and try to make sure that we don't. Allow too many points that way that our offense, we don't put too much stress on Pat, haven't asked him of too much. And that's the mindset of every game. It doesn't matter if he's injured or not, though. Whenever we're going out there, we want to make sure that Pat doesn't have to be superhuman. And that's regardless if his ankle's bummed or if he's fully 100% healthy. We always want to do our part. And so we don't want to be bailed out, per se, by the offense. So, we're definitely going to hone in and focus in on our keys to be able to stop their offense a little more than we have in the past. I mean, like I said, said, it's always been three-point games. All three last games has been decided by 3 points. So, like I said earlier, we just got to come out on the other side of those 3 points. That's all we've been focusing on this week.
I like it. I like it.
I always like Colin Saunders.
Yeah, he's a thoughtful.
First of all, he's a bowling ball.
Yeah, yes. He's a
as
huge
a
guy.
Fellow bowling ball, I enjoy watching him have success. But he's
his
a
answers
thoughtful
are always,
guy.
Yes. Yes.
He's getting better all the time.
Yep.
And I love the fact that, oh, yeah, the defense has got to get it done.
Yep.
You know, there's an understanding
took
that
it on himself.
It's their time, their moment to go ahead and make this happen.
Said they'd play in a CVS parking lot.
Yeah.
They had to.
You know, my point, I was just like, listen, I'll just flat out say it. The Bengals offensive line didn't get exposed like it would have if it hadn't been snowing. You know, I got to think that they're licking their chops, that they know that they're going to have a big advantage. And I do think that if the Chiefs win, if Eric Eager's right with his 31-13 prediction, it's because the defensive line owns the day.
Yeah, it's because the Bengals' offense is blunted, not because the Chiefs necessarily go off offensively.
Yeah. I can
or
still
that,
see
that
them
point
have
spread.
I can still see them have a fighting. But if you have a good day with your defensive line, you create takeaways.
Mm-hmm.
Right, and he did throw 12 interceptions this year, only 8 in the last. What did he have one on Sunday against the Bills? Mm-mm. I don't think he did. So 8 in the last 18 games he's played. So, you know, he had 4 in the first game, and then I don't think he had. Did he have one against? They have in the opener. I forget who they opened with. Anyway,
they opened with the Steelers.
The Steelers. No, yeah. The Ravens in the playoffs.
Oh,
with the Ravens.
I thought that's
yeah,
regular
against the Steelers,
season.
he had 4 picks, but I can't remember if he had a pick against the Ravens or not.
No.
Okay. So he's been
209-1-0.
Pretty good. He has fumbled a number of times. Like, that's one of the things that jumps out at me. They don't lose him, but like, he has fumbled in his career 20 times, only lost 6. In fact, he's only lost 2 of the last 11 fumbles
that
he's had.
That's so out of balance.
So I think if they can, you know, if the Chiefs are going to win, if they're going to win decidedly the way Eric Eager thinks they are, the defensive line has a monster day. Yep. That's the path to that kind of success.
And they've got the guys to do it. Yep. The matchup is favorable.
Chris Jones gets the monkey off his back, has a couple of sacks. They run roughshod on that offensive line. That's the path to success for the Chiefs as I see it. We'll talk to Lebo next.
All right, let's flip the script. What was the last season where both conference championship games had double-digit point spreads? Brought to you by Jazz, a Louisiana kitchen.